It's time for Focus, a weekly public affairs presentation of Simmons Multimedia.
Good morning. I'm Shonda Christensen, and welcome to Focus. This week, my conversation is with Karma Hansen, who is the coordinator for Safe Kids in Grand Forks, and we discuss back-to-school safety. So, Karma, kids are back in school now that Labor Day weekend is over and the new normal is starting to happen with the school year. Let's talk about some safety tips for kids traveling to and from school.
Well, thank you for having us on the show and talking about how not only the parents and the kids can help to create a safe school environment, but really everybody in the community can. As kids, you know, walk to school or bike to school, that kind of thing, it's not just about them being safe in their behavior, but it's really about everybody in the community coming together and making sure that, you know, if they're driving their vehicle, that they are slowed down, watching for kids, not driving distracted. And, you know, maybe even if you could consider taking an alternative route to work or the gym or the farm or wherever it is that you might be going in the morning, you know, to avoid traffic in and around the school area. So this is a subject that isn't just for those who have kids in school, but really everybody on a whole to help make the community safer.
And kids ride the bus, they ride their bike, they walk, like we spoke about here, or even in some rural communities, ATVs are allowed. Do you have any safety tips for the children heading to and from school?
Yeah, let's start with the school bus. They are a very, very safe way to get to school. In fact, the least likely chance of being injured on a school bus than any of the other modes of transportation, because they are a big vehicle, that they sit up high, they're bright yellow. If a car were to hit them, they are normally up quite a bit higher than that vehicle is, so that impact zone is usually below where the kids are sitting. But that being said, in order to have the safety mechanisms on a bus work, you have to assure that the kids are seated in their seat, not standing up, not walking up and down the aisles or laying on the floor, that kind of thing. And know that most deaths and injuries that occur related to school buses happen not on the bus, but as the kids are getting on and off of it. And so we as adult drivers that might be encountering a bus need to be aware that there are signals. There are going to be flashing red lights and a stop arm paddle that will come out when that driver is expecting kids to get on or off that bus. And it is our responsibility to stop no matter what direction we're coming from when those flashing red lights are going and the stop arm paddle is out, because essentially what that bus driver is trying to do is to create a safe walking space or a crosswalk in front of the bus so the kids can safely get across the street. So when the red lights flash and the stop arm paddle, you know, it's not just vehicles from behind the bus that need to stop, but anybody that might be coming and meeting the bus head on or coming around the corner and meeting the bus so that those kids have a safe place to walk. As the kids get off the bus, typically the driver is going to want them to cross the street in front of the bus so that they're not in the blind zone behind that big bus, and also so that the driver can help help those kids cross. They're sitting up higher and they can see if vehicles are coming and can lay on the horn if they need to. Generally, what's best is if the kids get off the bus and they walk in front of it and they stop and they look up at that driver and make some eye contact with them so that the driver is helping them to scan that environment to make sure that there's nobody coming and then can motion the kids across. But so many people don't understand that that is a law, that they have to stop in all directions. And so many times those school zones of a bus are violated, and that can cause a big danger to kids.
Outside of the school bus, you see kids going to school on electric scooters or their bikes or walking with friends. Are there certain things that these kids should know as well?
Well, the first thing I would say about riding a bike is this. When you have, and it sounds kind of funny, but I say wheels on your feet or wheels on your butt, you have to act like a car. So if you're riding on a bike or a scooter or a skateboard or rollerblades, you have to follow the same rules of the road as a vehicle does. So even though you may be on a sidewalk, if there is a stop sign at the corner that you're coming, you need to stop and make sure that you are looking in all directions for traffic that may be coming. if you are on those wheeled sports devices of any type, it's really important that you're wearing a helmet. The speeds can get pretty high on those, and head injuries are something that can cause lifelong consequences, and so we want to assure that that head is protected. We have those available at our Safe Kids Grand Forks office, and they are available for a suggested donation of $8 for a bike helmet or $12 for a multi-purpose helmet, and we would be happy to get them to your community, to your listeners, if they need them. Walking, again, when you're coming to those street corners, it's really important that people be visible and stop and watch for traffic in every direction. It really doesn't matter if you had the right of way. If a kid walking or a biking meets a car is going to win every time. Doesn't matter whose fault it was. And so stopping at those street corners, looking both directions, making sure that, you know, particularly with teen bikers or pedestrians, that they're not on their phones or have earbuds in or that kind of thing, where they may not be able to hear traffic and stuff going on around them, is really important, because you need to be aware of what's going on in your environment and stop, look all directions, keep looking, and then be able to hear what's going on as well.
Also kind of a reminder is the fact that there are school zone speed limits. When the summer's going on and the kids aren't in school, you kind of just go about your day. But do you have a reminder for parents or teen drivers or pedestrians even about the school zone speed limits?
Well, there's a reason why we ask cars to slow down in school zones, and it's because the very thing that the slower the speed of the vehicle, if a child or even an adult were hit, their chances of survivability goes down significantly the faster the speeds are. And so adhering to those speeds in school zones is very important. Not only that, but not driving distracted. You know, put your phone down. Don't be, having a dog on your lap or eating breakfast or, you know, putting on your makeup or, you know, whatever drivers may be doing that takes their eyes off of the road. What we tell kids to cross at street corners, where drivers are more likely to be watching for them, it's important that drivers are paying attention, because as we know, kids can be very unpredictable. And so they may not follow those rules of crossing at the corners. They may come out between parked cars or, you know, dart out in the street because they see their friend and they think they're late for school. And, you know, they do things that maybe aren't following the rules of the road. And so the kids getting to and from school, it's really incumbent that the drivers are watching out for them and paying attention to where kids may be crossing, whether it's the proper spot or not. When kids do come to the street corners, typically what we'll teach them to do is to stop and look both directions. If there is a car coming, asking them to, you know, look at the wheels of that car and make sure that they have stopped going around, and then make eye contact with that driver. A lot of times the driver will, you know, use their hand and motion them across or something like that that indicates to them that they have actually seen the child and that they are, you know, watching for them to cross. And that's a helpful way to know that, that you got people watching out kind of for those kids as they're coming and going. And then as we get into winter, where we've got lower light conditions both in the morning and, you know, if kids are staying after school and participating in activities and coming home, making sure that they have something on their jacket or their backpack that's reflective, that can be seen, so that they're not, you know, wearing a dark winter coat or blue jeans or that kind of thing and not being visible to the vehicles that are out and about on the road. That's another important tip as well.
And National Passenger Safety Week is coming up. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Child Passenger Safety Week is celebrated every year during September, and it is a time where we come together to talk about motor vehicle crashes and ways that we can keep kids safe in motor vehicle crashes. Safe Kids covers a lot of topics, but that being said, motor vehicle crashes are the leading cause of kids in our state and in our country. And so focusing our efforts on how to keep kids safe in motor vehicles is really what this week is all about. Now, There are ages and stages at which we move kids from, say, a car seat that faces backwards to one that faces forwards, to a booster seat, to a seatbelt. Having that proper restraint for their age and their weight or their size, meaning their height, is really important, also to help with survivability in a crash. There are child passenger safety technicians all throughout our state who are really experts and trained to help parents and caregivers in knowing how to best transport a child in a motor vehicle. And they are available, you know, by phone, by at events, or we're even now doing what are called video checkup events, where we can set up a video time with somebody who's got questions about car seats and walk them through how to properly use that car seat in their vehicle. With motor vehicles, one of the really critical things is that kids have adult role models that demonstrate the proper you know, behavior that you want to see in a vehicle. So having mom or dad or grandma or grandpa or the bus driver or whoever they're with buckled up kind of sets the tone for the expectations of being in car crashes. And many times when I'm doing classes, I'll say to people, you know, how many of you wear your seatbelt all the time? And how many of you wear your seatbelt some of the time? And when those people raise their hand, I'll say, what's the reason why you don't have it on? And then my next step is to say, if I could tell you that on your way home from class today, you were going to be in a car crash with your kids, would you wear your seatbelt? And most of them will say, well, of course we would. And my answer is always, I wouldn't. Because if you know you're going to be in a crash, you don't get in the car. You wear your seatbelt because you don't know when those crashes are going to occur. And it's important that we're restrained in that vehicle at all times. Because staying in that vehicle is going to increase the chance of survivability because of the many, many safety features that they put in vehicles. They have rollover bars in cars. They have airbags, both frontal airbags, side impact airbags, and mechanisms like that that help protect the occupant. But if that occupant doesn't stay in their seated position, those safety devices are not going to have the opportunity to work and work to save their lives.
What advice do you have for that parent who has that one kid who just hates being in their car seat? You go to buckle them in and they're completely stiff as a board. They scream, they kick, and they're almost find strength from some other place to be able to escape that car seat before you can get them buckled in.
You know, that's a great question. And we work with a lot of parents who have had that issue and there's a variety of things I would say. And if people do have that situation, please give us a call because we can talk through some of these things. There are ways that you can help to make it easier to get the seat belt or the harness system of the car seat on that child by loosening it to make it longer so that when they are stiff, you can actually still get the harness around them and then restrain it. We talk about diversion things for the kids. You know, is there a game, a toy that they like to play with that they only get to have when they're in the vehicle? If they're a little bit older and they can understand incentive things, we've got a little chart that we use that it's got a little roadmap with boxes on it that if the kids get in their seat and stay in it and, you know, for the duration of the ride, they get to mark an X. And then along that little pathway, there might be a star that when they get to the star, the kid gets something that they enjoy. Maybe they get extra movie time or they get to stay up a little bit later. Or, you know, they get an ice cream cone or something like that, trying to reinforce that positive behavior. And sometimes it comes down to just a battle of the wills and parents understanding that a crying, screaming child while they try to put their kid in a car seat is better than one that they just give up on and say, fine, just sit on the seat and then, you know, is in a terrible crash. And so really just saying that even though they pitch a fit or they scream or whatever, they're going to be adamant about the fact that they have to be in that seat before that vehicle can move. One of the things about child seats and moving through those stages of seats is that oftentimes we think about, oh, I'm so excited they get to graduate, you know, to the next seat up, the next, you know, be that from a forward-facing seat with a harness to a booster seat, or, oh, they're big enough to come out of their booster seat now. every time a child moves to a different seat, meaning the next stage up, they're really taking a step down in safety or the safety mechanisms. And so we don't want to advance our kids through those stages any too quickly, because it can put them at risk for, you know, injuries in a crash, because maybe the seatbelt isn't going to protect them as well as a booster seat with the seatbelt, or the booster seat might not protect them as well as a car seat with a 5-point harness. And so really there's several recommendations. Number one, kids should stay rear facing for as long as possible. They're always going to be safer facing backwards. The old standards used to be a year, then it was 2 years. Now the recommendation is that kids should stay rear facing until the upper limits of their seat. And car seat manufacturers know that kids are safer facing backwards. And I won't get into the crash dynamics of that, but there's a lot of reasons why they are. Their head and neck and spine is protected better in a rear-facing crash by the car seat. And so the recommendation is to keep them rear-facing as long as possible. So manufacturers have started making car seats that will face backwards to 40 and now even to 50 pounds. So that would be one thing. Always having that child in a harness system, again, as long as possible. Harness systems on car seats will go to 65 pounds, and the longer you can keep them in a 5-point harness, the safer they're going to be. And then when you are looking at moving them out of a booster seat and into a seatbelt, we know that seatbelts were designed for adult bodies. And just like, you know, a dad wouldn't give his 7-year-old his work boots to go out and wear to school or out to play, they don't fit, they're too big, seatbelts are the same. They are designed for adult occupants in that vehicle. And so we don't want to be putting a child into that seatbelt until it fits properly. The way that we determine that is kids need to be able to sit with their back up against the back of the seat, their knees bent at the edge of the seat, their feet flat on the floor, the lap belt down low across their hip bones, not up on their soft tummy tissue, and the shoulder belt across the middle of the chest and middle of the collarbone, not up on their neck. Well, the North Dakota law says kids need to be in a car booster seat through age 7. We know that just because you're 8 doesn't mean that you're going to meet those 5 criteria that I just talked about. And it's usually closer to that 10 to 12 age. And so making sure that you're not just following simply the law, but really taking a look at, is your child safely ready to transition into that seatbelt, is really important. And then kids 12 and under should be in the back seat and away from those frontal airbags.
On a closing note here, what other advice do you have for parents if it's back to school safety or if it's passenger seatbelt safety?
Well, I would say that, you know, being a parent is probably the most important title that I've ever had. And while my kids are grown up now, I take that role very seriously. And there are so many things that you need to know about raising kids. There are great resources available through, you know, your county public health, through your law enforcement agency, and Safe Kids. We are here to help parents and caregivers to help understand ways in which they can create a safer environment for their kids. Now, we're not here to take the fun out of being a kid. We actually want them to be able to, you know, be kids and explore and that kind of thing. But we know that there are ways that we can make their environment safer. So whether that means putting a bike helmet on a kid as they go to school or keeping them in a car seat so that they can, you know, be safe in motor vehicles, we want to be there to help provide the resources and expertise that parents need. If they have questions, they can certainly give us a call at our office. We are based out of All True Health System in Grand Forks, and our number is 701-780-1489. They can email us at safekids@alltrue.org. Or the other thing is we have a very robust website, and on there we have a lot of resources, and that is safekidsgf.com. or like us on Facebook. We're here to help, and no question is a dumb question. And when there are so many ways and places that you can, you know, find parenting advice or tips like that, you want to know that you're going to a source that is trusted and credible. And we at Safe Kids are happy to help parents out in any way that we can as it relates to childhood injury prevention.
Remember, you can hear the podcast version of today's program and all of our past shows by clicking on the Focus link at myborderland.com. For Focus, I'm Shonda Christensen.
You've been listening to Focus, a weekly public affairs presentation of Simmons Multimedia Stations. Time is available for responsible opposing viewpoints. Contact the Simmons Station at 701-256-1080 for more information. Join us again next Sunday morning at this time for Focus.